please stand for the reading of the scripture? Today's scripture is Mark 8, 34 through 38, and I think it's on page 1000 in the Bibles on your seats. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're going to continue this series that I've been doing on the most important topics in Christianity, what I consider them to be, in January and February. And in March, we're going to do something different. History Channel is doing a special on the Bible, 5 Sundays in March. And we're going to tie into that. We're going to be watching it on TV. In fact, we're going to try to get it up on this screen on Sunday nights, starting in March. That'll be our Lenten program, and we're going to tie our connection groups into that as well. So be thinking about that, okay? And then we're going to start a series in Mark in April that's going to take us to summer. We're going to do the first half of Mark, and then probably in the fall we'll do the second half of Mark. So that's kind of where some things where we're going here on Sunday morning. And today I wanted to talk about number 7 in my most important topics is obedience to Christ. And this was the first thing that God dealt with me about as a brand new Christian. The night that I asked him into my heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about 2 things immediately. And I knew nothing about Christianity, basically nothing. But I knew in my heart that that night over in Woodinville, Washington, when I invited Jesus, I used this little 4 spiritual laws to invite him into my life. And immediately I knew that I, number 1, had to get rid of drugs. And number 2, no more sex till I got married. Those were the first 2 things that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And those 2 things transformed my life. Jesus, this passage that we read this morning, Jesus gathered his disciples. He gathered the crowd there. He just told them that he was going to die and going to be raised in 3 days. And Peter had rebuked him, and Jesus had to set Peter straight. Tell him he didn't have God's thoughts on this. He was wrong. And launched into this discussion, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. We saw that little video clip about a guy talking to self. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, folks, that cross up there is a nice, pretty cross to us. But back when Jesus said that, that was a horrible instrument of death that was reserved for the worst criminals. The worst were crucified. Horrible. Horrible death. You know, for us, maybe we could put a hangman's noose up there. Or a hypodermic needle. Or an electric chair. Can you imagine people wearing an electric chair around their necks? It's an instrument of death. And Jesus was saying, I want you to put yourself to death to follow me. For if you would save your life, you'll lose it. Now, in this four laws, Bill Bright put this thing together years and years ago. I have some copies with me. If anybody wants one when you leave today, come up and get one from me. One of the little pages in there has this schematic of the Christ-filled life and the self-filled life. The self-directed life, he calls it, and the Christ-directed life. And you'll notice in these that here's this life, here's this throne. Every one of us has a throne of our life. And here's Christ. You know, we're born with self on there. Let's go to, and then there's the Christ-directed. We'll get to that one. Let's go to that. Here's the self-directed life. Self is on the throne. We're born this way. You don't have to teach a baby, and I just had a baby with me for the last couple of weeks. You don't have to teach a baby to have self at the center of their life, do you? We're born that way. And Christ is outside of the life. Christ is involved, but Christ is outside. And self is on the throne. Self is running the life. Christ is outside. Interests are directed by self. These are the interests of life. Often discord and frustration. Now, the Christ-directed life. You'll see that now Christ is in the life. And Christ is on the throne. Self is still there, but self is off the throne and results in harmony with God's plan. Interests are directed by Christ, and you can see the interests here. It's a great little schematic, I think, and I think there's a third one that I probably should have created, and that would be the one where we invite Christ into the life, but self is still on the throne. There's a lot of people like that. They've invited Christ into their life, but they want their self to still run the show. Now, Jesus said, if you want to save your life, in other words, you want to keep self there, you'll lose it. Let's go to that 10:10 passage, Bob. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he says, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it to the full, or might have it abundantly. Satan is our enemy. He comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. But Jesus comes to give us life, abundant life. Let's go back to that schematic if we can. So in the self-directed life, if we want to keep self there, if you want to save your life, Jesus said, you will lose it. You will never have God's abundant life in your life. You will never get here. But if you will lose your life, if you will take yourself off the throne and put Jesus on there, you can find Christ's abundant life. Jesus asked, and you can take that schematic down. Jesus asked, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his life? You know, at one point, Satan offered that to Jesus. He offered him everything. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll worship me. He was asking Jesus to do just that, to forfeit his life. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? You know, if Satan came to me and said, Doug, I will give you all the fame, all the power, all the wealth that you want if you'll just walk away from Christ. Kind of Hollywood, the NFL, and politics all together, as much as you could take. Would it be worth it to give up your life with Christ? to give up eternal life with him in paradise forever. Jesus didn't think so, and he walked away. He walked away from Satan. I don't think it would be worth it either. And why is it that people do walk away? Because people do walk away and don't put Jesus on the throne of their life. Because they're ashamed of him. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, you know, Jesus just isn't cool enough. He just isn't macho enough. He just isn't exciting enough. I want what Satan offers me. I want all that power and wealth and fame. I want to keep myself up there. I know better about what my life should be than what Jesus does. But Jesus says a remarkable thing at the end of that passage. He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, in this sinful and adulterous generation, that's what Jesus thinks about this generation. Sinful and adulterous. Then he says, then I'm going to be ashamed of you when I come in my Father's glory with the holy angels. Putting Jesus on the throne of your life is a daily struggle, like Ann talked about. I struggle with it every day. Every day. And Jesus struggled with it. You know, he was in the garden, and the next day he was going to be crucified. And what was he doing up there? Let's put that passage up, Mark 14. He says to God in Aramaic, Abba, Daddy, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Do you think Jesus wanted to go on that cross? He didn't. He would have been a lunatic if he'd have wanted to. But what did he say? Not what I want, Abba, but what you want. He put his Father first. Put him on the throne. Said, Father, I don't want to go to that cross. But if that's what you want, I'm willing to do it. And of course, that was the path to abundant life. For him, and for all of us. It's a daily struggle. And of course, we have our sinful nature that's always trying to pull us away from putting Christ on the throne. And we have Satan, who's constantly tempting us. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow our sinful selves, because he knows that'll lead us to destruction too. I like this passage from Paul from 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so you can stand up under it. That's a promise from Almighty God. That's a great one to memorize when you feel tempted to turn away from Christ and do things that self wants to do. There will always be a way out. And when you feel that pull to do things you know are not right with God, just say, Lord, I need you to show me that way out. Help me, Lord, to keep you on the throne of my life. And he will bring it, I guarantee it. Having Christ on the throne of your life is especially important with the major decisions in your life. Who to marry? How many kids to have? What's your career going to be? Where should you live? When should you retire? How should you retire? When I was 32 years old, I had the fastest growing church in this annual conference. And we were in the middle of a huge building program. And I was on a silent retreat. We heard that word from the Lord today about how important silence is. And the Lord spoke to me clearly and told me he wanted me to become a Navy chaplain. And my response to him was, I cried. I said, no, Lord, I do not want that. I knew what being a Navy chaplain meant. It meant leaving my family. I'd been there and done that. And I said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to leave my family. And the Lord said, Doug, you don't understand. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what you were created to do. So just do it. And for the next almost 30 years, I did that. And it was hard, yeah. There was many hard things about it. But it was what I was supposed to do, and there were great blessings and abundant life that came out of that. And when I came up to retirement in the Navy, there was a big part of me wanted to quit working. I was tired of working. You ever been there? But there was another part of me that didn't want to quit preaching. And the Lord made it clear to me. He did not want me to retire. And because of that, I'm here today with you. With great blessing. When you follow what God wants you to do, there's always great blessing.